Have you ever wondered just what is required to achieve a well-balanced and healthy life? What really is wellness, and how does one achieve the highest state of well-being? The belief is we can unite globally and join together in a conversation that will open the doorway to living at the highest possible state of peacefulness and well-being for all. From the Pacific Northwest, it's the Wellness Roadshow with your host, Catherine Bradford.
Hello and good afternoon, Catherine Bradford here, and thank you very much for joining me on this glorious spring afternoon here in the Seattle area. Anyway, it's beautiful today. We like to always give a nod to the weather when it's nice in Seattle because we don't get too many beautiful days. Anyway, I want to begin the show today by thanking you again for joining me. I know that there's lots of choices in this world for filling up our what we might call spare time. And I just really enjoy the fact that we have this opportunity to bring you incredible information through the authors and the books that are out now. There's so many of them that are wonderful. Most people I know who live spiritually based lives are older, coming to understand the personal connection between spirit and body from years of personal experience. But what about our youth, our young adults? Are they somehow held apart from these life-affirming, deeply balancing principles as a result of their lack of life experience? For many years now, I've often heard of parents talking about their belief that their children are old souls, sometimes referring to them as crystal children or indigo children. I've always been fascinated by this claim and wondered exactly what did that mean. Were these children somehow born with a deep spiritual knowing that would reveal itself naturally without the guidance of their community or cultures? What I believe to be more commonplace is that often teenagers and young adults are either void of spiritual beliefs and practices, or they find themselves drawn to youth groups that are offered by many of the well-known and well-established religions of our Western culture. Certainly as adults, and quite often older adults, we embrace spiritual concepts and practices that help us establish strong and beneficial foundations from which we not only draw strength, but use to help us be in this world. What if the same set of tools were offered to our youth, support and teachings that would give them a much-needed leg up for coping with modern-day stresses, pressures, and day-to-day quandaries? My guest today has created just such a support system in his book, Spiriting Around, A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself. Mark Tombach understands that if you get your spiritual side working for you, then everything else gets easier. His book was designed particularly to help teenagers find the spirit within them. His spiritual primer is a simple and easy-to-follow roadmap, which explains what teenagers need to do to find the spirit within them. Please join me today in welcoming Mark Tombach to the Wellness Roadshow. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Catherine. Hello, and hello to all your listeners, too.
Very good. Thank you so much. Mark was telling me right before the show started that he's calling from Florida. We have a lot of our authors calling us from Florida, so we just have to go to Florida, I guess, to do the show, because that's where everyone's hanging out.
You're welcome anytime.
Yeah. Listen, tell me, you know, I'm always curious when I read a book that comes from such a heart piece that my first question usually has to do with, you know, what brought you to a point of wanting to write this book? Is there something in your own personal history that linked you to the contents, of course, I'm sure, but that particularly fueled the fire for the, you know, that was the solder for this, the fodder for this book?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head. Basically, I wrote it because I had a miserable life.
Huh.
And this is growing up. I had a lot of love. I had a lot of opportunity, but I didn't have guidance, and I wasted a lot of that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I was about 14 years old. I went to a succession of psychologists and psychiatrists, and finally when I was about 20, I wound up in a mental hospital for a couple of months.
Mark, can I interject and just ask away kind of what time frame were you growing up? So we have some of our guests like to be in the relativity zone here. So was that 50s, 60s, 70s? What was that time frame?
I'm a hippie.
You're a hippie, okay.
I'm a hippie.
Welcome.
So.
Well, me too, so yeah.
Great.
Okay, please. Good. We're both hippies then.
So this is in the, I was born in 1950, so the experience was from the mid-60s to around 1975. The worst part of my difficulties were about between 1966 and 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulty is well, and there were a lot of drug-related experiences and confusion-related experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the formative times of a person's life.
Yes.
And the problem I had was that the drug culture I encountered, a lot of people seem to have dealt with it okay and gone to school and were able to get through it. It landed on me like a lead laptop.
Yeah.
It crushed me, and it took from me these formative years in my life when I should have been getting an education and building some basic emotional abilities and skills. I lost that.
Mm-hmm.
But my saving grace, you know, the balance in my life was that I was always smart.
Mm-hmm.
So I skipped a grade in school, and then I was bumped up 2 years in math and science in junior high, and then won a national merit scholarship. But I barely got out of high school. I think they wanted me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So it was this experience, this intelligence. That just the intelligence I had to deal with the problems. And after I got out of the hospital, I was relentless in examining my own thoughts, and I continued this on for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you do anything passionately for a very long time, you learn a lot about it.
Yes, you do.
So this is what the experience of spurting around was, my intense examination of my own confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And sorting through it and being unhappy and knowing that it was not bad, knowing I was unhappy, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was going to do anything, drugs were just a postponement.
Mm-hmm.
They take up the time,
mm-hmm.
And then you're always unhappy again, and then you're unhappy because you're involved with drugs, and you see your life slipping away. You see other people's lives advancing, and you can't get a grip on it, and you just have to stay with it, frankly. You just have to do the hard work and effort and not give up. And the nice thing is, once you get started and decide that you want to be well and want to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
it's already... The falling back has already stopped. You now start to advance, and
mm-hmm.
You'd like to say that once you make a decision, everything's going to be happy and you're going to be accomplished and you'll be back on your road. But it takes time and it takes patience.
Of course, it does. You seem to have focused, and of course, because now understanding the roots of this, you know, you focused primarily on wanting to help and guide, younger adults and teenagers in this particular time of life because, in fact, of your own personal experience. Let's take a look at a bit of comparison here. We certainly know that, myself included, you know, what the temptations were of the day back in the mid-60s to the, mid-70s, and I was in the same age bracket as you, just being a year younger, with those temptations and things. I also remember very distinctly what was available to me outside my family as far as, guidance, as you say, whether it was there were spiritual, concepts that would come help me or mentors or older adults that would come in and say, hey, this is a child in need, let's help them, or religious groups, as I said. And there really, wasn't a lot available back then other than like the youth groups that came out of some of the basic churches. But tell me, do you really think we've made progress with this? Because I still see the same issues with regard to the same age group in this day and age. Tell me what you see comparatively going on now as opposed to when you and I were that age.
Well, I think what started back then was a social intention. There was, a lot of the love generation.
Yes.
And this love was definitely a, with all the problems of drugs and drug addiction, there was also there was women's rights and religious rights and racial rights and cultural rights with the Native Americans. So there was a great interest in supporting people's wanting to express themselves and be themselves and be their natural selves. So
right.
I think that was the basis of the problems prior to that. And I don't want to date myself. We've already dated myself a little bit here. Is that before then, there was a lot of confusion in society. We would have our role models, if people remember the Rat Pack and Frank Sinatra and,
right.
and Dean Martin.
Right.
They would, on one hand, they would be talking about women as broads.
Right.
And then when Christmas time's coming, it's Silent Night and oh, holy night, no, how's your family? So there was this confusion that the general society was sending the message to its young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was part of the reaction, mm-hmm, of the hippie generation, wanting something steady and sturdy. And on that basis...
Not contradictory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the basis for the social experience, because not only do the teenagers, who are the cutting edge of a society's social growth,
mm-hmm,
they need balance, and they need the guidance of the society's well-exercised traditions of social cooperation. So they really the young generation working together with the older generation inspires the young generation and pulls the older generation up with it. So it was this advance. The culture was ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the beauty of the generation we've lived through in the last 40 years, and we're not done with it. So.
What about the teens of today then? Do you think that we're leading the way with them? We've sort of solved some of the problems that we were witnessing and experiencing ourselves as teenagers and young adults?
And we have solved some of the problems. We've given them a structure, I think, of mutual respect, instead of being more loving human beings, instead of taking it as a concept, making it physical and real, where people, women are not being restricted and restrained from advancing in their careers, and the same with different racial groups or religious groups. So
right.
This new basis, the culture has been moving ahead, just on a social experience, and this is love in action. This is peace in action. This,
yes,
is the reality of peace.
Yes.
And you know, you look at the papers and you see the horrible war and you see the horrible deprivation. Sure, this is true. This is not so much a contemporary difficulty. This is a human nature difficulty. They had this in ancient Rome, and they had this 1,000 years ago. It's part of the human condition. We move 100 steps forward and 99 steps back, and it advances slowly. But,
mm-hmm,
if you look at history, it really is advancing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to make this seem so simple when you know, so many people suffer, and you hear about deaths in the millions, but the social experience, the way people relate to each other, hasn't changed in 5,000 years. Technology changed.
Yes. Well, that's an interesting point. And, you know, I like to look, though, because so much of your book is really intended to offer something that might have been missing from our generation, which is, you know, bridging a gap and creating an opportunity for these teenagers and young adults to really step into the level of awareness that our generation seems to be living in. Do you know what I mean by that? And so, you know, based on that, I mean, because we have to set the premise that this book is intending to supply support that in your eyes is in some ways missing for children or teenagers, right?
Well, it's very true what you're saying, because the magnificent opportunity they have with the internet and this way, this Web 2.0 and social networking and the ability to relate to each other, to interrelate with each other in an honest way, this is brand new.
Right.
I grew up, and maybe you did too, maybe you knew 100 people at school or hanging out in the neighborhood.
Right.
But today's young people, they can know thousands of people on the internet.
Right.
And the beauty of the internet is there's an honesty about it.
Yes.
You may not like the different identities that people decide on.
Right.
But it's there. It's not like you used to see a funny-looking, long-haired person and you didn't know what they thought about. Now, on the internet, you see funny, long-haired people communicating with each other,
mm-hmm,
or you see goths communicating with each other, or Native, mm-hmm, Americans communicating with each other,
mm-hmm,
and they talk about what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it's very beautiful to see the honest intentions that they have.
Yes.
Now, but it's still young, and
yes,
it's still immature, and it still needs the guidance, and it needs the understanding of love and mutual respect and caring, and that we're all in this experience together. And you know, now, you know, it's difficult because their role models are immature. people are trying to sell them things all the time. But what's important is them to learn about love, making love a part of their experience, seeing the love everywhere and everything, trying to understand what love means, how to be responsible to themselves mm-hmm. in the way that they love other people,
mm-hmm.
and how to build lives they can respect. They are exposed to an enormous amount of information.
Yes.
And this is their challenge. This is their turn.
Right.
And I trust that they're going to come out okay. Everything's going to be fine. This is human, the human condition in 2008 as it advances forward. And as I said, the cutting edge is our young people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's wonderful, but they still need the balance, the guidance, what it means to understand that everyone's in the same boat. Everyone's got challenges. Everyone wants to succeed. And we have to find a place where you can be responsible to yourself, responsible to God, your opinion of what right behavior is,
right.
and responsible to your fellow human being.
Right. Let's take a look at it this way. You know, most of us would, if someone came up and said, can you define spirituality, I think that most people would say that it's a personal relationship that one arrives at and develops and becomes aware of with their own connection, their relationship between themselves and their oneness with their source, the God, whatever it is that you choose to say this. A lot of times these spiritual awakenings occur as a result of a trauma, of a hardship, of just, you know, adversity, lots and lots of years of life's experience. I'd like to look at this idea of what you see as teen and what you might call teen spirituality, and how is it, if it is at all, different from what the spirituality aspect may be of an older adult?
Sure, Catherine. It's about spiritual responsibility. This is the control that a person has over themselves, their choices.
Right.
And teens want to be able to trust the control that they have over themselves.
Good.
But like you said, they need experiences to prove that what they know is reliable.
Right. Put it to work to see if it works for them.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's got to prove itself if they're going to
mm-hmm.
trust it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to at least consider that love is the essence of spirituality, and they need to be confident that this love is reliable. Again, they want to trust it, but they have to test it to believe it.
Right.
And this makes sense, that they need a foundation from where they want to go out and explore their potential. It's fair, it's normal, it's reasonable, it's a little uncomfortable,
yes.
and confusing, but this is our lot in life.
I think one of the things that I loved so much that came out of your, well, there's a lot of things I love in your book. I want to congratulate you for producing something which is so stimulating and wonderful, and I hope any parents listening will go get a copy of this for their children. I say that, but you know what I mean, young adults here.
Right.
But one of the things that I think is a root piece that I love so much is what you said, take control of your life. You know, that's when we're looking at some of the advice is that you're giving, you know, in this book to the young adult, to really come into a good relationship with their own spirituality. So this first piece, taking control of your life, can you talk to us about that?
Well, when you take control of your life, it's about responsibility.
Yes.
And basically, responsibility is the control that you have over yourself. And responsibility is one of the bricks in the foundation. You have a sense of responsibility and a sense of control. It means you can decide on what your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot is said about goals. You read it in tons of books and everywhere, everything about goals.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason people talk so much about goals, it's really that important.
Mm-hmm.
Goals take the chaos out of life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a million things assaulting us, or it would just mean we're exposed to constantly, and it's almost like you're in a room full of black balls, and there's one, but if you have that one goal, let's say that red ball is your goal, no matter where the balls bounce around, no matter all the confusion, that red ball is always going to catch your attention.
Right.
And the nice thing about having goals is they're personal, so they satisfy your own needs.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think you'll find is that once you pay attention to that goal, you find that your plans will naturally flow towards the goal.
Right.
You'll always have a sense of the number of balls in between you, the direction, which way to go, where to make a turn. And it's part of human nature. It's almost like hitting a baseball or a golf ball or even a dance step. You pay attention with your eyes and your attention, your focus, and the body adjusts to hit the ball or to make the step. It's a matter. It's kind of having faith in your whole consciousness and including your physical consciousness, including your mental consciousness, that will be pulled in the direction of your focus.
Mm-hmm.
So and then the details really they adjust to accommodate the plan. So the mm-hmm. so goals are very important. And self-encouragement, you mm-hmm. know, it's nice to think people are going to cheer you on, but all positive talk and cheering, it's only to address a person's own ability to encourage themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's going to make you do anything, positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
Within the framework of what people are saying to you or impressing on you, you'll make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And self-encouragement is something that you consider, or you can consider, and then look for positive examples of it. Look for positive people, look for positive books
mm-hmm.
that can help you inspire yourself to take positive action continue moving forward to have what you want and be happy.
I think that's a really good point, this taking responsibility, because isn't that a great gift if someone young in life can really understand what that means and apply it to their lives? I remember my own teenage and young adult life. One of my very closest friends from high school went off to her goal of college and got very lost. And I remember one day her dad called me up and said that he had gone up to San Francisco to get her because she had actually driven up there with the intention of jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge for God's sakes. And, you know, we brought her home and had a great deal of time, you know, helping support her. But, you know, it's really interesting that there's this fine line between feeling overwhelmed and lost and not knowing where to go or what to do. And the other side of that is just setting yourself into an intention around wanting to accomplish something. It doesn't have to be a grand, you know, huge event. It can be something really baby steps, right?
Anything that makes you happy. The unusual big events like winning the lottery, they happen once in a very rare while.
Right.
You need a lot of patience. Important things, important goals, they take a lot of time.
Right.
So if you want to, and they also take a lot of work. And going back to responsibility, and your friend who had the problem, and who you helped, a lot of you know, I think there's a phrase somewhere that, you know, a lot of opportunity is masquerading as hard work.
Yes.
And this is true. It's like anything in life. It's not just, you know, a normal job where you want to get money to buy a car. You might want clarity in your thoughts, or you might want to achieve a certain amount of emotional strength to be able to get on stage and give a speech or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it all takes work. And a fascinating thing, which a lot of people don't pay enough attention to, is all these successful people you see on TV, whether in politics or in sports or in the arts or whatever they've achieved, they work hard.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what gifts they were given, as far as opportunities, as far as talents, as far as skills, everyone who is really successful works hard. Fred Astaire, to do those amazing dances, would put in hundreds of hours practicing, and he was an expert.
Yes.
And the golfers like Tiger Woods, they practice every day. The professional opera singers, they practice every day. They're mm-hmm. constantly taking lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work hard. You can have anything you want, and you just have to not see yourself as a victim of work, but see work as the tool which will create the opportunity and give you what you want. And you need patience, and you need kindness, and you need honesty with yourself. You know, one of the problems with being honest with yourself,
mm-hmm.
it can be very uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
because you have a lot of things that you don't like about yourself come
mm-hmm.
up,
mm-hmm.
and that's why you have to love yourself and be kind to yourself and be patient. And everything develops, like you say, it develops over time. It gives you the small steps, the small victories that they add up. And
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you have a big victory, and then you can exploit a big victory into another victory, and you're developing confidence along the way, and you're developing mm-hmm. skills along the way, and educating yourself along the way. And every time you approach a new problem, you're not that person at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You're a more competent person, a more courageous person, a more loving person.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said about the honesty piece, because, you know, it really is one of the cornerstones of building a foundation of happiness in your life, no matter which way you go, right? And I think that, you know, when you allow yourself to be open to being honest, even if it hurts, what you do is you clear the connection, and you create an opening where you will be more in touch with what is innately you, divinely you, this inner being of truth, which will emerge because you're willing to let it out, right?
You're absolutely right. It takes courage and it takes a brave person to make this decision. We feel comfortable with these habits sometimes. We understand them. We know how people will react to them.
Right.
But a lot of them are old habits that you learn when you're very young to protect yourself when you have a lot of inhibitions, when you have these very normal young person, teen, new adult inhibitions. Your inhibitions are there to protect you until you can develop the confidence, until you can develop the skills.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a bit of bravery and to go out and look at yourself and really look deep, and you start to see these problems. But as you love yourself, as you care about yourself and know it's important, and as you understand that this is part of the process, these pains and these old habits, they're removed. You intentionally remove them, and you have your inner self, the things that dignify you, the things that give you peace and satisfaction. These are the things that you replace those old habits with, and these are now the strengths that you have, that you can move forward with your life. Because now this is essentially not who you were as a young person. Those old habits, these are the considered, the things through experience and evaluating your experiences and having conscious values. You decide you're replacing the old habits with the new conscious values.
Yes.
And this is a decision that people should make, and it gets easier as you go. That's the good news. It's hard. Yes, it takes work. Yes, it's satisfying. Awesome. Yes.
That's great. Hey, Mark, we're going to take a short break, but before we do, I want to tell our listeners, you know, if you're curious about going to the website for Spiriting Around, you can do that on break while we're there. Also, I want to let you know that Mark has wonderfully given us a couple of his books that I'd love to give away to any listener listening today. If you just call into the station and let us know that you'd like a book, we have two of those books to give to you. I'll be happy to send them to you. The number for doing so is 1-877-230-3062. We'll be right back.
Time is right. I'm gonna pack my bags and take that journey down the road. 'Cause over the mountain I see the bright sunshine, and I want to live inside the glow.
Hello, this is James Arthur Ray, and you are listening to the best network online, Contact Talk Radio.
When you're down and out, and there seems no hope at all.
Community begins and ends with one. We are one, one people, one world. We are all dots scattered across the globe, eager to reconnect. Come join me, your host, Catherine Bradford, in my new show, Dot to Dot, We Are the World, as we join together in conversation to connect and create community. Dot to Dot, We Are the World will air Wednesday evenings starting in March at 8 p.m. Come join us. We are the world.
Contact Talk Radio.
It's on the internet.
It's consciousness in action.
Information.
It's your connection to empowering information.
It's what matters to you.
It's on the internet.
Contact Talk Radio.
Listen live.
Join in on the online chat.
Contact Talk Radio.
We're making a difference.
And leading the way at ContactTalkRadio.com.
This is Dr. Doreen Virtue, and you're listening to Contact Talk Radio.
Time is right. I'm gonna pack my bags.
Hello and welcome back. This is Catherine Bradford, your host of the Wellness Roadshow. And today I'm enthralled to be having a wonderful conversation with author Mark Tombeck, who has offered us a lovely book called Spiriting Around, A Modern Guide to Finding Yourself. This book, intended for young adults and teenagers, Mark, for helping them become more solidified in a state of self-knowing around their spirituality, connected back to what's happening in the world, because there's this huge movement, as you well know. You're a part of it. I'm a part of it. And I think just by association, this age group is really in a special place, because they're getting the benefit of all of the enormous shift of this paradigm, which is occurring all over the world. Would you agree with that?
That's well said. I hadn't considered it like that, but that's absolutely correct. I think what happened before and the great changes over the last 30, 40 years have given the kind of been the booster rockets for this generation, and so it's great to support them and love them and be a little amazed at what they're doing, and just help them. You know, certain things they're going to do, we all the people have no idea what's going on, but social relations, respect for one another, this we can support. This is a general human condition that every human being always has needed. And love for one another, and making that a part of their decisions and a part of their adventure.
Yes,
I think that's important.
You know, this age group that we're focusing on today, I think, is really interesting. And you know, a lot of people run into this dilemma, if you would. And I think this is being addressed in the practicality of your book, which is so wonderful. It's not so up in the air and etheric that, you know, kids can't relate to it. It's very fundamental, very basic, very, you know, grassroots. It really gives kids lots of suggestions around very current, real-time situations going on for them that they can, you know, put into play. But, you know, this whole thing around, you know, separating themselves from their family of origin and sort of like, you know, shooting out of the cannon, all excited with their life's youth energy, their hormones raging, you know, wanting to go out there with all this enthusiasm, and yet sometimes, you know, being out in the cold going, holy smokes, this is a big world, what do I do? Understanding it, you know what I mean, separated from family. Do you believe that, you know, this re-evaluating one's personality when you are finally out on your own testing the waters as a young adult is a big important part, you know, and remembering that they are always the biggest influence on their own life, right?
Absolutely, and once you're out of the nest, you don't have that constant. You might think it's a barrage when you're young and in the house of advice, but when you go out, you learn that certain bills have to be paid, and that everything in life is a practical negotiation. You'll be negotiating with an employer, or you'll be negotiating with a customer, or you'll be negotiating with a fellow worker, and trying to have positive relationships, and you're not always going to find positive people, and you're going to find people who are not very nice, and how to maintain your own personal values,
mm-hmm.
and how to establish values that you want to live with, and also a lot of, you know, people have been religiously trained and have been brought up in different in Judaism or Catholicism or Islam and
right.
all the companion religions, and how to adapt this to understanding it's the confusion, because everyone talks about love, and your family of most people love each other and support each other, and then we see all this violence and terror,
mm-hmm.
and awful things that happen, and the news very often picks up the worst and shows it on TV or on the internet, but you also, there's some very horrible things going on,
mm-hmm.
and they always have happened, so there's a confusion between, you know, a person's supposed to love each other, how come we have all these problems?
Mm-hmm.
These are valid questions for young people to ask themselves,
mm-hmm.
and how to have conscious values, personal values, and this is part of it, investigating their experience, and what you were just saying,
mm-hmm.
about having this sense of themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they really have to take the responsibility upon themselves that now that they have a certain amount of experience and a certain amount of education, now they have to do some investigation,
mm-hmm.
investigate what they hear on TV, investigate what their friends tell them, investigate what their family and religious leaders have told them,
mm-hmm.
and start to form their own opinions.
Their values, yes.
Their values, and understand human nature is like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get along, and we can get along
mm-hmm.
when we respect each other.
Mm-hmm. You write about life being a paradox. You know, you just touched on that briefly in this last piece here. But, you know, do you find that that's often very defeating and difficult for young adults to grasp? I can